We thank God for these precious moments. I want to share with you today out of the book of Nehemiah. I'm in this book on Wednesdays, and I feel like it's so rich. I want to share with you some of that on Sunday, on today. Nehemiah chapter 4, I want to read in your hearing verses 6 through 14. Nehemiah 4, 6 through 14. God's words speak this way. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the wall of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burden is falling. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we would not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemy said they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open spaces, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Amen. Amen. I want to build this sermon around the thought, what do you do when you're tired of doing good? What do? When you get tired of doing good, I wonder, have you ever got tired of doing good? I can remember playing football at the University of Kentucky, and we played powerhouses like Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia. And every week playing football, the SEC was like playing a rival game. Wins rarely came, and even when they did, they were always hard fought. We practiced like everybody else, played hard like everybody else, but it seems that no matter what we did or didn't do, it didn't always seem to help. I remember getting discouraged, talking to my father about the dilemma. I explained that we were a team that tried to play by the book. No illegal enhancement drugs, no recruiting scandals to speak of. The coaching staff tried to instill right principles in us, but none of that seemed to be enough. It made me wonder if it was possible to actually be successful doing right when everybody else seemed to be doing wrong and doing well. I remember asking my father if you can be successful without cutting corners. And I remember he told me that honesty is not the only policy, but it's the best one. Yeah. Paul described the struggle that we face when we do good. Paul said, when I do good, evil is always present. Evil is always present. That is those forces that work to discourage us, to dissuade us, even stop us from doing good. Evil forces that are contrary to God's force. Sometimes those forces wear us down to the point that we get tired of even trying. We began to take shortcuts instead, or worse, we throw in the towel and we give up. But the Bible teaches that we shouldn't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You may get tired sometimes. Take a break, but don't give up. You may become frustrated by the circumstances of your situation. Redirect some of your energies, but don't give up. You may even feel like what you're doing is in vain, but stay the course, because if God is for you, who can be against you? And don't be surprised or taken aback when everyone doesn't agree with your good idea. Don't be surprised when they don't applaud your God-mandated efforts, because the devil is always busy, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. But fear not, for Jesus comes that you may have life and have it more abundantly. No, don't be surprised, but just expect it and then plan for it. In fact, during my time working with Clout, Citizens of Louisville Organized United Together, they identified 7 tactics that people in positions of power use to avoid doing what you're asking them to do. In fact, I've discovered that these tactics aren't just used by people in positions of power, but when you don't want to do something that somebody's asking you to do, you'll find yourself using the same type of tactics. They're called the 7 D's. The first, but not in any specific order, is deflect. That is, they'll try to get you off track chasing rabbits by changing the subject. They'll delay. They'll try to hold up your progress and hope that you eventually go away. They will use deception. That is, they'll just flat out and lie about the situation. They'll try to divide. There's a saying that says, a house divided cannot stand. And your adversary will try to turn you against those that are on your side in hopes that you will implode on yourself. There is deny. They'll just flat out tell you no, with or without a reason. They'll try to discredit you and attack your character, your good name, call into question your ability to accomplish the very thing that you set out to do. And lastly, they will attempt to destroy you. We can clearly see several of these tactics in our text as Nehemiah and his band of believers attempted to carry out their God-given mandate to rebuild the walls surrounding the city of Jerusalem. They started off strong, wandering off several attempts, warding off several attempts to discourage their good work. And in verse 6 of our text, we see they had the wall built up to even half of its height, because the Bible says the people had a mind to work. We can accomplish the impossible when we unite together and when we have a mind to work. For whatever the mind can conceive, the hands can achieve. But too often our problem is that we lose the fight before it starts because we don't have a mind to work. You can have a mind to work in order to do what God called you into, because sooner or later something is going to happen that will give you a good reason to quit. And sometimes in the course of fighting the good fight, you may be discouraged and want to give up and go back to where you came from. After the Hebrews finished the first phase of their building project, Sanballat and Tobiah, government officials, and the surrounding tribes that opposed the redevelopment work of Nehemiah, they heard of their success, and the Bible says they got angry. And they plotted to come together and confuse the work of the Hebrews' rebuilding project. But the Hebrews prayed and set a guard as protection that would keep watch over them both day and night. It seems like everything is still moving in the right direction in spite of opposition that Nehemiah and the people had to face. But no matter how strong you are or how prayed up you are, negativity has a way of wearing you down. And word began to spread that the people working on the building project began to get worn down. They began to realize that even though this building project was ordained by God, it was too much for them to accomplish alone. They began to feel the pressure and began to lose hope and came to the conclusion that they would not be able to build this wall by themselves. And their enemies doubled their efforts, and now they sought to kill them and destroy the building project altogether. But that's not all. Even the other Jews around them began to tell them that they should just stop what you're doing, come on back home, and let things go back to the way they used to be. They had to fight their enemies on the outside, but they also had to struggle past their own inclinations to give up under pressure. But then they had to resist the urging of loved ones who wanted them to stop and just let things go back to the good old days instead of encouraging them to push on. It's no surprise to us when those who already oppose us are against us. We understand that they don't like us and we don't care much for them either. And so we're not caught off guard when those people, institutions, organizations, seek to hinder us, oppose us, try to destroy us. In fact, we're on guard and we keep watch like the Hebrews did and place a guard to keep watch day and night against the attacks of their enemies. We get that. We understand those rules of engagement. That makes sense. We can even be honest about our own fears and skepticism about what God has called us into when the going gets tough. We try to manage our own emotions, convinced that God is on our side and whatever God starts, God can finish. We can be courageous and push push on even in our own fears if we know and believe that we're fighting a God-ordained fight. Am I right about it? But I don't know about you, but this last one catches me off guard. I don't know about you, but I got some trust issues for some good reasons. And this one catches me off guard. This last one worries me a bit because with this last one, my guard is all the way down. With this last one, I think that those that want the best for me will have my best interest in mind. With this one is like playing on a team, but your own fans start cheering for the other side. This tactic is the one I think got through the defenses of the Hebrew building project, because it was those that could benefit from the building of the wall that began to discourage the wall being built to begin with. They said, just stop all of your work, stop all of this foolishness before somebody gets hurt, and come on home. Stop what you're doing. It's not worth you getting hurt or being hurt because of this building project. Let's just go back to the way things used to be. And what makes this so diabolical is that it comes from a place you would think had your best interest in mind, but in reality, they were really concerned about their own self-interest. You remember how Jesus told his disciples that he would have to go to Jerusalem and there he would be killed by his enemies, but on the third day, he would rise from the dead. And Peter took him aside and began to correct Jesus and said concern in these concerning tones, I heard what you said, but it'll never happen on my watch. And then Jesus turned to Peter and told him, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. If you can't trust those close to you to tell you the truth and support your efforts, who can you run to? It's enough to make you get tired of doing good and want to throw in the towel and go do something else. But can I point out to you today that sometimes when you find yourself in over your head and God is the one that called you into that space, then you're in the best place that you can possibly be in.
Because when you're in over your head and it's a God-ordained conflict and you're doing what God told you to do, all you have to do now is trust God to do what you can't do. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. That means do all that God has ordained you to do and do it to the best of your ability and do it as much as possible. But when you've done all that you can, recognize your limitations, move on out of the way so that God can do what we can't do. Because if you can achieve a God-given assignment on your own strength, then that assignment really wasn't from God to begin with, because God is a jealous God and he won't share his glory with another. God told you to do something, you didn't have to depend on God to see it through. You and I would forget that it was God's idea to begin with, and we'll start trying to take some of the credit ourselves. No, being in over your head isn't the best place to be when God has called you in that space. Just stay prayed up and watch what God can do. He just may be ready to give you another testimony. But there's one thing that messes up the process. That is, we stop doing our part way too soon. We throw in the towel and give up before God even shows up. We place it all at God's feet, and we can do it, and God can do it, but there are some things that God wants us to specifically do for ourselves. There's some things that God wants to specifically do through you. So while you're waiting for God to show up and show out, don't walk away prematurely or completely, because God may want to work a miracle through you, not just for you. God may want to use your hands. God may want to use your feet. God may want to use your mouth. God may be signing up new ambassadors for you to fit the bill. And I tell you a secret today. Even when the battle seems to be over, God is still able. Don't walk away too soon before God announces that it's finished. So then what do? When you get tired of doing good, what do? How do you forge ahead when you realize that you're in over your head? In our text, I see that under great pressure, the Hebrews did at least three things to make it through these attacks. The first thing they did was they just stayed together. Nehemiah got away from all of the negativity, and he placed them down by the inner wall, and he began to organize them by clan. That is, he put them around people that had already bought into the vision. He put them around family members that, even if things went sideways, they had a personal stake in seeing it go through. He put them around people that had already had a relationship and trusted each other. The first thing that Nehemiah did was to organize the people for success. He had a thought out plan that he had put in place. He made sure they stayed together and got away from all of the negativity. Simply put, Nehemiah organized the people. The opposition got tougher, and they had their goals and their plans. So Nehemiah had to get the people together and remind them of their goals and their institutional plans as well. You can't do this all by yourself. You got to find some like-minded people that will help encourage you, remind you, hold you accountable in this righteous fight. And to be effective, you have to organize. That is, to be strategic about what you're trying to do. They stayed together. And because they stayed together and organized for success, it helped them to stay focused. They didn't focus on their fears, but they focused on the mission. They didn't focus on their foe, but they focused on their Heavenly Father. They didn't focus on what people may do to them, but they focused on what they could do for themselves. Sometimes the schemes of the devil are merely there to get you off track
and to get you off focus. The goal was to rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem, and that seemed simple enough. But as the building project moved along, they found out that the building of a wall took more than just building a wall. In order to stay focused on the mission at hand, they had to be able and willing to do some other things as well. Jesus put it this way: which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether they have enough to complete it or not? Whether he has the right people in place to be successful, whether or not he has what it takes in order to see it through. But oftentimes when God calls you into something, you can't always factor in what lies ahead. All you can do is your best with what you got, and then you have to trust the Lord to do the rest. In order to build this wall, it took more than masonry skills. It took more than knowing how to use a hammer. It took more than being able to lay down a foundation. For you see, in order to build this wall, you had to be willing to fight. They couldn't stay focused on building the wall under the threats of attack, so Nehemiah addressed their concerns by organizing them to be successful, and he put a sword in their hand. He put a sword in their hand, and he put tools in their hand to work as well. And those that work had guards watching over them as they themselves worked with the weapon in their hand. And I have to point out to you today, there's some things you just got to be willing to fight for. And when people see that not only you're willing to fight, but that you're organized to fight as well, then they may think twice about attacking you. Because the adversary likes to hit those that are weak. That's why we're warned to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. But lastly, they were able to stand against the schemes of their adversary because they stayed with God. Nehemiah said to the people, don't be afraid of them, but remember the Lord who was awesome, who's great and awesome. Fight for something that's bigger than yourself. You got to remember who called you into this battle, and you got to remember that wherever God guides, God will also provide. You got to remember that you're fighting for something bigger than yourself, that goes beyond you, that goes past you, that will extend farther than you. Paul, Nehemiah had to remind them, don't just fight for yourself, but fight for your brother, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, fight for your very home. This ain't really about you, but this is something about being bigger than you. Don't just get tired of fighting for yourself, but learn and know that you gotta fight for somebody else. The Bible put it this way: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord himself came down and he died for those that were enemy of his, because he knew this wasn't all about him. What do you do when you get tired of doing good work? You just gotta take your time and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will help you when you can't help yourself. He'll pick you up when you fall down. He'll give you some encouragement when you're feeling bad. But don't get tired of doing good. It's easy to do the other thing. It's easy to walk away and say, I'm done with it. But if God called you into something, that means it's going to be a God movement in order to get you out. You can't do it by yourself anyway. I remember somebody saying that God only gives his hardest battles to those that he trusts the most. And I remember them saying, but I wish God didn't trust me so much. It ain't about God trusting you, but it's really about you trusting God. God knew who you was when he called you. He knew you was messed up. He knew your deformities. He knew your cult, your character flaws. And God chose to use you anyway. And when God begins to use you, God knows how to clean you up so that you're useful to him. You'll come out better than anybody else. Somebody said it's difficult to spray perfume on somebody and not get some of the fragrance back on yourself. Trust God and do what he says and see if God don't give you another testimony. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. He makes all of the difference. He can do for you what can't nobody else do. He can save your very soul. The doctor may be able to cut out the cancer, but only God can cut out the sin. The lawyer may be able to keep you out of the grips of prison, but only God can snatch you out of the grips of hell. Trust God today. The Lord makes all of the difference. Let us stand at this time that we may let the choir lead us in this song of expression. This is your invitation. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. But it's not just about a confession. It's about a relationship. Turn your life over to the Lord.
If anybody yeah.